When my guest speaks, angels appear, holding human body parts. Two people saw an angel give a woman a new heart, and this miracle was medically verified.
Can ancient secrets of the supernatural be rediscovered? Do angels exist? Is there life after death? Are healing miracles real? Can you get supernatural help from another dimension? Has the future been written in advance? Sid Roth has spent 30 years researching the strange world of the supernatural. Join Sid on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. My guest, Bruce Allen. Bruce, you provoke me to jealousy. I mean, here you are, having a meeting, woman comes with a bad heart, an angel shows up, gives her a heart, you see this, she sees this, and it's medically verified. But you know what? That's the way it's supposed to be. That is normal. And the reason that I'm interviewing Bruce right now is he has a revelation that we are in the morning of the seventh day. What is the seventh day and what is the morning of the seventh day?
As we study the Bible, Sid, we find that from the day of Jesus when he walked the earth, we can historically go back in time 4,000 years to Adam.
Right.
2 Peter 3:8 says that with the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day. So looking at that scripture in context, we can go from Adam until the turn of the century, and we have completed 6,000 years or 6 days. And so we find us, the church and the world, prophetically early in the morning on this seventh day. It's a day of profound revelation. It's a day of visitation by angels and the Lord himself. It's a day of supernatural signs, wonders, and miracles, creative miracles unlike anything we've ever witnessed, and to an extent we've never witnessed. It's a day of every covenant promise being fulfilled, and it's a day of the return of the Lord.
Well, you know what I love? Every covenant promise being fulfilled. But the best part is quickly. I like it. I'm from the McDonald's generation, you know? I like fast. Yeah. But let me ask you a few questions. You have been, one of the covenant promises that we see in the Bible is people being translated from one place geographically to another place, people being transported quickly. Tell me about a time you were transported.
As I was studying the Word and came across that, the Holy Spirit had provoked me, can a man be translated by faith? Hebrews 11:5 states that Enoch was translated by faith. And so there's biblical precedence. And so as I was studying that and pursuing the Lord in that in prayer and fasting, I came to the day about 6 months into that study that I said to my friend John, we were in Seattle, I live in Spokane. That's about 300-mile journey by car. And I said, let's believe for this. Let's just believe God's gonna transport us all the way to Spokane. Well, normally, that's a 5.5-hour journey. You can make it 4.5 to 5 if you're speeding. So we prayed in agreement, put in the worship, and just began to worship God. And in less than 2 hours, we were in Spokane.
There's no gas crisis when things like that happen. And I understand what Bruce is talking about because that same thing has happened to me. But what happened to him as far as being translated from one geographical place to another, and this picture, this photograph, you were actually told to tell a friend of yours that was a photographer to come to this meeting. And why did you want him to take pictures?
I had an unction, just a knowing in my heart that something supernatural was going to take place.
Well, this is off the chart because I see you preaching and you are like transparent, and then I see what appears to be a pillar of cloud, a fiery pillar of cloud up above you. Now, what was happening when you became transparent as you were preaching?
What had happened is I had just started ministering and I was what the Bible describes caught away in the spirit. And I was taken above the earth over Eastern Europe. It was nighttime. And as I was looking down from above, I asked the Lord, I saw the outline of the nations. I said, Lord, is this Lithuania or Latvia? He said, Latvia. When he told me that, we began to descend through the clouds and we came down. There was an apartment flat in this city. It was all lit up. We came through the roof and I stopped in front of a door number 212. And I heard crying, weeping actually inside. And my heart was moved with compassion and I knew that I was there for that purpose. I opened the door, walked in and went to the back bedroom, and here was a little girl, 8 years old. Her name was Natalia. Now I found that out by asking her. And she was weeping because her parents could not find work. They had no more food, and they were going to be evicted.
She didn't speak English. How did you understand her? How did she understand you?
Exactly. That was supernatural. I have no idea. We just communicated. It was verbal. Wasn't heart to heart or mind to mind, but it was verbal. And the Lord gave that to me at that point.
And so what did you say to her?
I just really comforted her. I prayed with her and told her the promise that God had, that He takes care of His people. And when that was over, I was brought back to the meeting I was in. Now, I apparently had been preaching the whole time. I don't remember that, because what I had experienced was more tangibly real at that moment than the meeting I was in teaching at.
So in effect, it sounds to me like you were in two places at one time.
Absolutely.
Is there a biblical precedent for that?
Oh, certainly. The Bible says that of all Christians, that we are seated together with Him right now in heavenly places. So according to the Word of God,
we're here
and
we're
there.
Also in, I see.
We're already in two places. What's happened in Christendom is that people have never learned to exercise their senses, their spiritual senses, to be able to interact with the supernatural realm the way we can in the natural realm. But if we would learn to do that, that realm is more real than this one.
Well, you think that's mind-blowing? Wait till you hear this next story that happened in Ireland. We'll be right back after this word.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Bruce Allen. And Bruce just said during the commercial break to me, angels show up all the time and do outstanding things. Tell me again about what happened in Ireland.
This was in Belfast, Northern Ireland, about 4 years ago now. And a woman had come to, this was a leadership training for a ministry over there. This woman came in, her name was Sharon Morrison. And we were teaching on the Christian's birthright to be able to see clearly in the realm of the Spirit. She was a little bit dubious, but when she came up for prayer, she came up and asked for prayer for her heart. She said, I've had this heart condition for a number of years. I'm on medicine. She said, I don't want a healed heart. I don't want something that's refit. I want a new heart. And I said, okay, God can do that. And so as I stood there for a minute, dialoguing with the Lord and asking how to pray, I saw out of the corner of my right eye an angel walk into the room, and he had a platter, a silver platter he was holding, and on that platter was a beating brand new heart. Hmm. Well, she saw me glance to the right, and so she looked, and she was terrified, I mean in godly terror. Her eyes got as big as saucers, and she closed them tightly. And I started laughing. I said, oh, you saw him too. And she didn't speak again. I mean, the angel walked up and stood between us, so I backed up a step. He took the heart off the platter, put it into her chest, and she said afterwards, she felt his hand, her heart stopped for one beat, and she felt it moving in there because she was squirming. And then I saw the angel reach lower, and I thought, she didn't tell me about that need. What had happened is he healed an abdominal situation as well at the same time.
Now, how did you know this?
She told me the story afterwards.
Okay.
I saw what was taking place. Mm-hmm. But what she did after that experience, she didn't say another word. I said, well, we don't have to pray. We'll agree with what we saw the Lord doing. She said, yes, and sat down. She went home that night, and she threw out her heart medication. And she cooked something she hadn't been able to eat in years because of the problem. She slept soundly for the first time in years. When she went back to the doctor, she had a regular checkup for this heart condition. The doctor was astounded and said, what have you been doing? Your heart's like new. And she told the doctor what happened, and that's when the doctor almost had a cardiac arrest because did you have withdrawal symptoms? She said, none. And the doctor just threw up her hands and said, well, whatever you're doing, keep doing it.
So do you see people getting new body parts often?
I do.
What happened in Singapore?
Singapore was a little bit different. We were ministering at a church, and this lady who had invited us to minister to this youth group was there, and after we had ministered to the youth and prayed for them, she said, well, I want prayer too. She said, but I'm not going to name anything. Well, I knew from an acquaintance what was going on, but I asked the Lord, what do you want me to do? He said, I just want you to take the sword of the Spirit and pierce her heart. Now, that sounds a little bit strange.
It's like a prophetic act.
It was a prophetic act. So when he says things like that, I just do it. It looks foolish to man.
Listen, you get those kind of results, go for it.
Absolutely. And so I did that. When I did that, she fell down. What happened is the power of God touched her body, which caused it to short circuit. She fell down. When she got up, she said, oh, that was great, super. We found out afterwards via the friend that knew her that the brain cancer was gone.
That is so phenomenal. Now, we talked about the seventh day, that promises are going to speed up. But when I think of the seventh day or the Sabbath, I think of rest. What does that mean to us practically if we're entering the morning of rest?
I'm glad you asked that. The day of rest speaks of ceasing from our own works, just as God did from His. That's Hebrews. What that says is that we have to learn to be led of the Spirit and stop being led of a program or a formula. Those things, at the worst, can lead to stagnation, but and witchcraft, but at best will cause people to just get stuck in a rut. But if we learn to be at rest by doing what He says to do, when He says to do it, how He says to do it, we will see an acceleration in the fulfillment of all of these promises, and we'll see greater creative miracles, signs, and wonders.
Well, it seems to me when the Messiah says over and over again, fear not, or be at peace, that there is a supernatural, this is what I've been pondering lately, there's a supernatural place, and it's called peace. And we can walk into that place. And is that not the morning of the seventh day rest that you've been talking about?
Absolutely, that's a facet of it. Rest and peace are a little bit different. But on the whole, that is exactly what God is saying. The more you trust somebody, the more peace and rest you have around that person. So the seventh day also speaks of a tremendous revelation of intimacy with God. We're coming into that place of such intimacy with God where the things of this life pale in comparison when you've seen the Lord. And when you see what He's prepared for us in that realm, you're not worried about looking foolish to man. You're not worried about pleasing man. You're not worried about reputation. You're doing this because you love God, because you have an audience of one.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking of the scripture that says, yet once more, yes, I'm going to shake this earth. And those that are not on a firm foundation, when it shakes, guess what happens? You're going to fall. However, those that have entered into that morning of the seventh day rest, they're going to literally be in a euphoric state of peace and intimacy with God. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
It's a bastion of peace. I like to provoke people this way. The worst the world can do is threaten us with heaven. So it's win-win.
Okay, are you ready to win-win? Me too. Don't go away. You're going to find out. As a matter of fact, I'm going to ask Bruce to pray for you when we come back. Be back right after this.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Bruce Allen. Bruce, tell me about the time, and I'm sure this has happened many times, but you were caught up into heaven and you saw someone you knew.
Yeah, see, that was unusual. I was in a season of prayer and just worshiping God, and suddenly I was in heaven, paradise. And there was great activity going on, like bustling. I don't know how to describe that. Almost like Christmas in a mall. And all of a sudden,
almost like all the activity is going on because the holiday or the event's about ready to happen. You have to get everything in place. So there's a lot of activity going on.
Much activity.
Yeah.
And my aunt, who had died about 7 years previously to that, walked up. And she was all excited. She said, "Bruce, it is so exciting." And I said, "What's so exciting?" She said, "The preparation for the marriage supper of the Lamb is almost complete. And heaven is abuzz with this news and excited because it's the culmination, the completion." And she said, "And not only that, many individuals are visiting heaven from earth right now to go back with the testimony that people should be prepared because he's coming back shortly."
You know, that's the message I'm hearing from many people, that he's coming back soon. But the thing that's so unusual is even children are carrying this message back.
Yeah. There was a young girl in Singapore that had been in one of our meetings where we were teaching your birthright is to see and go as a Christian. And she caught the revelation and began to be caught into paradise. And at that particular time, I was visiting, I saw my aunt at that time. I saw this young girl, she was 8 years old, appear off to my left. She looked at me, smiled and waved, grabbed the hand of Jesus, and it skipped off with him. A year later, Sid, I'm back in Singapore and happened to have dinner with the grandmother and she was there, and she said, "I saw you in heaven and you were talking to your aunt." She
now,
knew.
Now that really blows some of you out of the water, but read the book of Revelation. I mean, read these visions that people have had, that Paul had. Tell me about this congregation in Malaysia.
On that same visitation with my aunt, I saw an angel off to my right standing in heaven with what looked like a Torah scroll, but I came to understand was a manifest. He was the angel that had charge and authority over all the resources of heaven that God had reserved for this generation. So I was ministering in Kuala Lumpur in a church, and they were in a building program for a new church. And while I was ministering...
By the way, that's a good angel to know.
Oh, yeah.
All the resources for this generation.
He appeared in the meeting. I saw him there and began to prophesy that, you know, as believers, we have that manifest. You know how we activate it? We speak it forth in faith, and it comes immediately. And so as we prophesied, they were taking pictures. They had learned to do that because cameras catch a lot of things. And they caught the picture of that scroll exactly where I saw the angel standing. And so needless to say, I was excited about that. It's one thing to have visions and people believe you, but God gave a tangible proof and evidence of that very thing.
This is so amazing. It's Hebrew lettering. So a year later, what happened to this congregation?
They built that church, I don't know if it was within the year, but within 2 years, I know for a fact, God supernaturally and sovereignly would bring in the resources consistently as they needed it. Sometimes the bank account would be empty, there was the money, it would show up. Sometimes they didn't even know how. Other times people would give large sums of money. And so they built that church very quickly with no debt, and there was a lot of extra money left over in the church.
Now, has God shown you anything that's going to happen in Israel?
Israel has got me excited right now.
I can tell.
Yeah, because there's about to be a strategic move of God, very prophetic, and we're about to see the reaping of the harvest of Jewish souls into the kingdom. They're going to begin to realize who Messiah really is. And a lot of it's happening sovereignly and supernaturally as Jesus appears to them. But there's going to be a supernatural event that God has been showing me, that I've been feeling in my spirit, where the signs, the wonders, the supernatural creative miracles are going to be seen and experienced by multitudes there.
Now, is it almost, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it's almost like this explosion of God's power, the supernatural, is going to, just like it started in Israel, the explosion's going to come from Israel one more time? Oh. For that it'll really have repercussions all over the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because the church started with the group, the body of believers in Israel. We're going to see the climax, the culmination, the fulfillment of the words. Remember the seventh day, every word he spoke over Israel, over the church, the first church, we'll see its fulfillment beginning in Israel and then throughout the world.
Now, when you speak many times, whole groups are caught away in the Spirit.
Yes, we've had that happen many times as we teach the truth that it belongs to every believer, not just the mystical few.
Okay, I promised our viewers that you would pray for them. Would you do that, Bruce, right now?
I would love to. Lord, I pray right now for every person hearing the sound of my voice. Lord, that you would activate within them their birthright to see and to go in the realm of the Spirit. Just as Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing, so as a believer that can do the very works that Jesus did, according to John 14:12, that's our birthright. So, Father, I pray an activation of that, a release of that, and I thank you, Father, even now people's eyes are being opened. They're beginning to see, they're beginning to hear. So I'm going to make a declaration boldly. I command eyes to be open, ears to be open, and hearts to understand the will of God right now in Jesus' name.
Well, I don't know about you, but I sure feel the presence. It's just, it's almost like a mantle. Well, in fact, when you pray for people, they get mantles of new anointings, I understand.
We've seen that on a number of occasions, I think three or four. We're behind every individual in a meeting. I've seen an angel come with a new mantle. And I have to provoke them out of their comfort zone. They stand up and, as a prophetic gesture, put on the mantle. And
what might this mantle be for an individual?
It speaks of their destiny, their calling, and the gifting of God being activated in their life. And again, the covenant promise being fulfilled. Most Christians don't understand that as a born-again believer, they have a commission and a calling of God. Most sit on their blessed assurance just waiting for the return of Christ.
Well, listen, when people read your book, Bruce, it's going to activate their faith to walk into this beginning of the seventh day where everything, all the promises of God will be speeding up. But you heard Bruce talk about a wedding, a Jewish wedding, and all the activity in heaven that's going on right now because they're plans for the wedding. And the question I have for you, do you have an invitation to this wedding? Well, I want to personally give you an invitation. The invitation is you must repent of your sins, believe that Jesus died in your place, and his blood washes away your sins so that you have a fresh beginning and you're a virgin in God's sight. You're clean. The Bible uses a term, you're righteous. You're as righteous as Jesus in God's sight. If you boldly proclaim, right, do it right now. Say, Jesus is my Lord, and I repent. I turn from my sins. With your power, Lord, I'm going to do better. Live inside of me. Be my Lord, Jesus, now.